Easter.
Yeah?
I just love that we have this time of year, that we have this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's so awesome. It's the reason we live. If there were no resurrection, we'd be wasting our time, right? If there'd be no resurrection, our God would be in the tomb, and we wouldn't have any purpose, any hope, any reason. And so we're just so thankful for the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday today. I love that. I love that we have that reminder that comes around once a year. And so, hey, real quickly, in case you haven't met yet, my name's Lee. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm about half of the lead pastor here. Did anybody else catch the flu this year? A couple people catch, you know. So anyway, I have spent all year long, I've spent the last 4 years just going, sickness is for lesser beings. I don't get sick. I don't do sick. I put holes in the ice. I get in there in the lake in the wintertime. Cast iron immune system. And then I got hit with this flu last week that has just about had me praying in new languages and old languages. And but this is what we're all about as a church. This is what we're, can we just say our mission statement together? We are living a passionate mission to love. Yes. And that's what we're all about. And that's what our church is about. We're about loving God, loving each other, growing in Jesus and serving our community and serving each other. And that's what the church is about. I love that we have a church mission that is bigger than just we gather, right? You know, we exist to gather. No, that's not a reason to exist. You need to exist for something greater than yourself. And so, excuse me, no one's going to want to use this microphone after me. And so this morning, it's Easter Sunday, and what we're doing is we're starting a two-part series, and it's called Coming to Life Again, you know? And have you ever kind of felt like, I could use a little life in my life, huh? You ever feel that? I could use a little life in my life. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people are alive, but kind of alive, or alive, but there's not much life in their lives, there's not much adventure in their lives, there's not much, excuse me, not enough cough drops in their life. And so we're talking about moving into this abundant, powerful, adventurous, joy-filled life that Jesus said that he came to give us. Now, I don't know about you guys, but since I've been walking with Jesus, I've had a few adventures. And I have found that this thing called Christianity, if you're doing it right, there's adventure to it. There's excitement to it. I think that if your Christianity, your walk with Jesus, if you find that it's boring, excuse me, then you might not be doing something right, right? And so it's full of life. It's a life that's life to the full. In John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, excuse me, I might need Wendy just to finish for me. Becky, you can come finish this for me. And so, in John chapter 9, or John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, Jesus, in Jesus' own words, he says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. All right, everybody say good pastures. Doesn't that sound like a great thing? Good pastures. We all want to live in good pastures. Okay? The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Right? Rich and satisfying. So Jesus is painting this picture that is anything but boring. He's, you know, when Jesus is saying, when you come to the Father through me, my purpose is to give you a dull life. He's not saying that. He's saying, when you come in through me, my purpose is to give you one of those lives that are just sort of, you're just sort of grinding through it, and it's the same old, same old. There is such adventure when we walk with Christ. And so Jesus said that his purpose is to give those who come to him, or through him to the Father, His purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, we have to understand that a lot of times we read that phrase, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. A lot of times we put all of our emphasis on rich and satisfying, right? And what we don't understand is Jesus is saying, he's making a declaration of purpose. Does anybody have a purpose statement for their life? You should get one. Write one down, you know. And we have to, you know, a lot of people, they spend their whole lives trying to figure out what their purpose is, right? What is the purpose of my life? What's my purpose? And Jesus is coming along and he's making this declaration. He's saying, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Whew. That's a huge statement. That means that there's, when you make a purpose, when you're saying that your purpose for being alive is something, there's commitment behind that statement. And so Jesus is saying, my commitment is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And so those are huge words. He doesn't just hope that you have, excuse me, just talk amongst yourselves when I have a coughing fit. He doesn't just hope that you have a rich and satisfying life. He doesn't just, you know, he's not just interested in you having a rich and satisfying life. He's saying that his purpose is to give his followers a rich and satisfying life. So pinch yourself if you're feeling a little bored with your life, okay? I remember before I decided to follow Jesus, and when I was a teenager, and I just sort of walked in whatever direction that I thought would make me happy. And you know, I think we're probably all guilty of doing that at some time or another. What's going to make me happy? I'm just going to walk in that direction. And happiness is a major motivation, right? I mean, we live in this country. We have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And we all want happiness. And so we tend to allow happiness to be our guide for our life. Well, if I take this job, I'll be happier. If I'm with that person, I'll be happier. Or if I move to that neighborhood, I'll be happier. And we kind of tend to use happiness as this gauge for whether we're doing the right thing or making the right decision or the wrong decision in life. And so we use happiness as sort of our guide. And I remember just kind of going wherever I thought would be happy. And you know, people will, they'll buy things they can't afford because they think it'll make them happy, right? Husbands and wives, you ever have that argument? Over what you're going to buy something? Come on, this will really make me happy, right? And then you're thinking, but it won't make you happy when you're still paying for it a year from now, right? And so we buy things that we can't afford because we think it'll make us happy. And then what ends up happening is we end up working extra hours and neglecting the more important things in life to pay for the things that aren't that important we got because we thought they'd make us happy, right? Excuse me. Or people will pursue other things. They'll get tipsy, or they'll get buzzed, they'll get involved sexually with somebody or whatever to alleviate the pressure or alleviate the doldrums of their lives. And unfortunately, you know, happiness fades real fast, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that the things that we think are going to make us happy, that happiness just fades unusually. I wish that you could, I wish that the return on things that we buy, like the return policy had coincides with happiness. Instead of just like having 90 days to return it, I wish it would be like, well, 3-4 months from now, I'm not that happy with it, I'll return it, you know. And so they need to make like a happiness return policy. But, you know, happiness fades really quick. And then we need to, what? Buy something else to make us happy, right? Or meet someone else. Or drink a little more. Or find the next fix to make us happy. And so we're led by happiness. And so I remember back when I was a teenager, I ended up in a relationship with a girl because I thought it would make me happy. And what's funny was is I didn't really pursue her. She kind of came after me. And I thought, well, might as well. It looks like it'll make me happy, right? She made me feel good. She told me she loved me. She, you know, all the sloppy kisses and all that stuff, you know. And so she just thought I was all that in a bag of chips. And I'm like, no, I'm all that in a bag of cough drops. And I just got in this relationship with this girl because I thought it would make me happy. And you know what? For a couple months, it did. for a couple months, I felt special, right? I felt like, you know, she told me that she loved me, and she wrote me notes, excuse me. We would go on dates and all those things, but because of my own security and some other pressures, I became even more unhappy than I was before I got a girlfriend. Anybody ever get in a relationship, and then after you've been in the relationship, you were more miserable than you were when you were single? Or else you're lying. It's Easter. Come on, just tell the truth. And so, and I remember just being very, just so unhappy in this relationship. And something happened somewhere in my life during this path. And I just decided that I was going to follow Jesus. Excuse me. And can I just say, when I say I decided to follow Jesus, what I'm not saying is I said a prayer. Okay? When I said I'm deciding today to follow Jesus, I did not mean I'm going to start attending church. I decided that from that moment on, because when I looked at what Jesus did, and I saw Easter, right, and I saw the cross, and I saw how Jesus didn't hold back a single thing to save me. There wasn't a single thing about Christ's sacrifice, about Christ's death, his scourging, and his death on the cross. There wasn't a single thing about it that told me that he was kind of half-hearted about it. There wasn't a single thing about his death that made me think, well, that's cool that he, you know, kind of held on to a few of his preferences on his way to his execution. It was this radical 100%. There was nothing that he could have given that he didn't give. There was nothing that he could have done that he didn't done. And I remember just looking at that and really examining the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and thinking to myself, to truly follow Jesus then would be to turn around and follow him with that same commitment, with that same love, with that same unreserved giving all that I have and dying to self for him. And so when I say, oh, I decided to follow Jesus, I didn't just start listening to K-Love. It was everything's being laid on the foot of the cross, Jesus. It's all yours, and I'm not holding back a single thing ever. And so that's what I did, and I decided to just say, Jesus, you're in charge now. My life is completely yours. In case you're wondering what happened with the girlfriend, it didn't work out. it didn't work out. I knew that where I was going, she was not going to go with me. I knew that she wasn't going to lay her feet at the cross anytime soon. I knew that she wasn't going to take that trip with me. And I wanted to live my life with somebody who's going to take that trip with me. And so when I did, I remember just feeling this huge weight coming off my shoulder, just you know, wow, I'm free to follow Jesus. And so do you know what happened next? Something just incredible happened next. Joy started to make its way into my life. You know, and I never really experienced true joy before that. I was happy. There were circumstances that came and things that came along. I was happy. But joy and purpose and reason started to fill my life. And I understood that there was a huge difference between making choices for your life based on what I think is going to make me happy and basing choices on my life on how I felt Christ would feel about it. And there was a huge difference. And when you begin to walk in a greater purpose, when you begin to walk in this purpose that says, whatever Christ wants for me is what I'm going to walk in, we start to experience life abundant. That's when we start to experience those things that you can't experience trying to design a life to make you happy. They're just not there. It's just not there. That life abundant isn't there when it's us at the helm, when it's us at the steering wheel. And so joy started to make its way in my life. I experienced peace. Life became an adventure, and it still is. I'm standing here with you guys. Life is an adventure. Excuse me. When you're not too busy coughing to actually live it. And I know what it is to have a rich and satisfying life. So, you know, if you would ask me, if you were to say, well, the Bible says, you know, that Jesus has promised us a rich and satisfying life. Do you really know what that is? Do you really know what that means to live a rich and satisfying life? I can 100% honestly hold up my hand and say yes, because I have been living it now for 30 years. Not so rich and satisfying when I'm coughing. But we're going to talk about that. And thank you for, like, hanging with me. In my mind, this whole room is going, blah, blah, you know. And so, thank you. Hopefully, I'm not standing up here rocking and shaking or doing anything like this. Because I feel like I'm standing here staring into a funhouse mirror. But let's pray real quick. And then we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 8. Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. God, that you want for us to have a rich and satisfying life. You want for us to have life and life so abundantly. And God, you've made a way for that. God, you've made a way for that through the cross. And this morning on Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection, God, we want to live in that rich and satisfying life. We want to live in that space that you've prepared for us. God, you're so awesome. We love you and we bless you. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's real quick, because I wanted to show you guys a video, and so I want to make sure that there's plenty of time for that. But I want to start off by taking a look at Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Here Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, and he's literally laying down the formula for coming to life in the greatest way possible. He is saying, this is how you come to life in the greatest way possible. He says, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? If you remember one thing this morning, I want you to please remember this. The way to being fully alive is through the cross of Christ. The way to being fully alive, the way to living this life of abundance, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of purpose, a life of meaning and reason, a life that is will blow your mind, it's through the cross. It's through the cross. To common sense, this is a massive contradiction, isn't it? It doesn't make sense to say that if you want real life, you have to lay down your life. It doesn't make sense, all right? And we have this idea ingrained in us. Excuse me. We have this idea ingrained in us that no one should ever tell us what to do, right? Isn't it? I mean, honestly, from the time we're like this big, we got kids in the playground going, "Don't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do." And then we get bigger and we say, "Don't tell me what to do." Right, and then we go to work. Then we get jobs, and we tell our managers they can't tell us what to do, and you know they got any union workers here? I'm not going to go there. Don't tell me what to do. It's so funny. We actually have a guy here who is a non-union manager of union workers. Yeah. How many times do you think he gets told, "Don't tell me what to do"? And so it doesn't make sense. So we have this idea ingrained in us that nobody should tell us to do. We believe that freedom means that we make our own choices, that as long as I'm not hurting anybody, hey, y'all, just get off my back, right? Don't tell me what to do. And, you know, why are marriages falling apart, all right? Why are marriages falling apart? Why are people gripped by addiction? Why are children engaged in promiscuity, and why are homes filled with violence and abuse? It's because we insist on living our own way instead of God's way, right? It's because we insist on doing things our way, that we insist on being at the steering wheel, we insist on being at the helm, we insist on doing things our own way instead of God's way. And so the world falls apart. You can't have the abundant life that Christ promised and hold on to the life where you call the shots. Those two things do not coexist. This idea that, you know, of saying, well, I want all the wonderful promises of God. I want the life that God promised. I want this abundant life. But you know what? I want to call the shots. Don't tell me what to do. Those two things don't work together. All right? And so abundant life comes when we surrender. You know, that's why we have the cross. That's why we have a cross in our church to, yes, remind us of the risen Lord, but also remind us who is the risen, who is the Lord, right? And that Lord is not us. That Lord is not you. It's Jesus. And so abundant life comes when we surrender. Jesus comes along and he says, look, the life that you have now, the one where you're in control, it is nothing compared to what I want to give you. It's nothing compared to what I want to give you. Right? And we can sit and we can imagine all sorts of things. Hey, I've got a great imagination. I can imagine some wonderful, wonderful things. But you know what? They're nothing compared to what Christ wants to give me and wants to give you. And so he comes along and he says, look, you know, it's nothing compared to what I want to give you. And I want to amaze you. I believe that God wants to amaze you. I know that over the years, God has amazed me. He has completely amazed me. I mean, things that I never would have imagined 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was just looking for another face to smooch, right? And Jesus says, all you have to do is trust me. Trust me. Follow my leadership. Follow my kingship, right? And so the next thing is this. Never forget what the cross stands for, okay? So we come fully alive through the cross. But we have to remember what the cross stands for. And so the cross wasn't easy. The cross was, you know, they didn't come along and they didn't put like pads on Jesus' shoulders and then put the cross on it and then put little wheels on the bottom of the cross. It was not easy. And when, you know, in Jesus' day, for him to say, take up your cross, it meant leave everything behind. The cross isn't easy. The cross isn't comfortable. The way of the cross, I mean, the cross was a symbol of death. You know, today it would be like if Jesus were here and he'd say, take up your electric chair. You want to take up your electric chair, folks. You know, that's not such a pretty symbol. Could you imagine if they started making gold electric chair necklaces? That would be kind of weird. But you know, he's saying, take up your cross. Okay? It wasn't easy. It wasn't comfortable. It was a symbol of death. Encountering real life means letting go of the old life. Encountering new life, real life, life abundantly, means letting go of the old life. And not only letting go of the old life. I mean, a lot of times we think letting go of the old life. There are so much to let, I mean, vices, attitudes that we grew up with that were not healthy. You know, even emotional states. Anybody here ever, you get angry and you're like, I'm sorry, I'm German. You know. And it's like the old life. Let it go, let it go. And in some ways, it's a continually letting go, letting go, letting go. And we let go of yesterday and we say, God, what do you have for me today? We let go of hurts. You know, sometimes people hurt us, right? And so we develop certain philosophies of living. You know, some people, they're 30, 40 years old and they're still fighting against, you know, things that were happening to them when they were 10. You let it go. Well, put the old life behind you, you know. Die to your old life. And it's hard, and we'll suffer for it. And it costs us in some very dear ways. But the rich and satisfying life that is just waiting for us is so much infinitely greater than the life that we're holding on to. Than the life that, you know, we just think, this is pretty good, but you know what? It's not. It's like, you know, like when you go up to your little kid and they're holding on to something and they don't want to let go of it, and you're like, hey, if you let go of that, I'll give you something a little better, right? If you let go of that Tootsie Roll, I swear I got something better in my pocket. It's not hard, right? It's not much harder to come up with better than a Tootsie Roll. We've had that ongoing argument at this church for 7 years. So... But, you know, our kids, they hold on to something worthless a lot of times. You know, and we go, hey, if you just open your hand, let go of that, I'll put something better in your hand for you. And so many times we hold on to things that just aren't that great, but we don't realize that they're not that great. And so we have to let go and understand that God has something so much greater that he wants to put in our hands. And so what I want to do right now is I'm actually going to stop. I want to show you guys a video. In February, Billy Graham passed away at 99 years old. When I remember watching Billy Graham when I was a teenager and just hanging on to every word, you know. And he passed away at 99 years old, and he spent almost 80 years of his life preaching about the cross. And he preached about it all around the world. And so what I figured that I would do for Easter, I would invite Billy Graham to be our special guest. And he's going to be with us by video. And so I want to show you this video about the cross. And I just really want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and just draw you into a deeper relationship with him this morning through this, okay?
Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and blood-stained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world.
You see, the Bible teaches that all of us are wrong. We've all gone astray. We've everyone turned to his own way. And when we turn to our own way, we go astray from God's way. And that includes the whole human race. And that's why the world is in such terrible danger right now. It's not dangerous so much because we have atomic bombs. It's dangerous because of the human hearts back of the bombs. Filled with envy and hate and strife and greed and lust and all the other things that could pull the trigger.
One reason that the cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. everything becomes new. He can make you a totally new person. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that, they'd scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person almost to death. And then they took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was, in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life.
The blood is the meeting place between God and man. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And that's what Christ was doing on the cross. He was making atonement for our sins, and he was shedding his blood. Now, when you take the blood out, that means you're giving your life. And that's what it means. It means the life of Christ. The cross and the resurrection of Christ offers forgiveness of sin, offers a whole new life, and offers you eternal life if you come to the cross by repentance and faith.
There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus.
Now, I don't understand all about it. There are many things about the cross and about salvation that I do not understand. And I'm not told that I have to understand it all. I'm told that I'm to believe. And anybody can believe. A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. An old person can believe. A young person can believe. And that word believe means commit. I commit my life totally to him. Jesus Christ from the cross says, "I will save you. I will forgive you. I will change you. I'll make you a new person if you come to the cross by repentance and faith." Come to Christ.
When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. To change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me."
The Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his Son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, he became guilty of lying. He became guilty of slander. He became guilty of jealousy. He became guilty of the most filthy, dirty sins. Christ took the hell that you and I deserve. Now, God says, receive him, believe in him, put your trust and your confidence in him, and I will forgive your sins, and I will guarantee you
eternity in heaven. It's all yours, and it's all free. All you have to do is receive it.
Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive. I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow. I have reason for existence. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Do you?
A beautiful message on the cross. So this morning, we're just going to close up. But and Wendy's going to come and I'm going to sing. But what we've done is just something a little different here. There's nothing magical about this. There's nothing at all. But sometimes, you know, we just have to take the parts of our lives that we have been holding onto, holding control of, and we just have to lay them at the cross, right? We just have to give them to Jesus. And so I've just left these post-its out here and some pens. And if during this last song, if you want to come, write that down. Write whatever that area, whatever that thing is that you've been holding control of, that you need to surrender to Jesus, and just pin it to the cross. Some of you might just write me and put it there, just as a symbol of just saying, God, you know what? I'm not going to try to be at the helm, at the steering wheel of my life. I want to give it to you. God, there's so many things that I've held on to, and as a result, I've not experienced that abundant life that you promised in John 10. I've not experienced that because I've held on to my life. And so that's what that's there for. So you are free to come up and just write those areas, pin them to the cross, and just leave them here today. Just leave them at the cross. And so, God, this morning we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that there is nothing that you could have done that you did not do for us. And God, we don't want to be the kind of people who say, God, give us that abundant life. Give us your blessings. But then hold on to the old ways. Then hold on to and be in control of our lives. Lord, it is only through dying to ourselves, placing our lives at the foot of the cross, God, that we will ever receive and ever walk in and ever really fully understand that rich and satisfying life that your word says is available to us. God, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. 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 Would you all just stand up with me?